Good morning, good morning, good morning from Wise Words with One Gone Show. It has been a while since I've been on here. Our host, Marvell Wilson, is on the line. Let me go to him and just see, make sure everything, all the functions are working. Brother Marvell.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you, and good morning to our listening audience. I'm coming to you live from Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, home of the Cleveland Cavaliers, home of the Cleveland Browns, and the home of my mother, who just turned 90 years old on the 24th of December, 3 days ago. So you can just about guess where I'm orbiting at right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going to cut to a music break right quick, and then we'll have our host, Brother Marvell, talk about Kwanzaa. It is the first day of Kwanzaa right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Yes, sir. This Wednesday, we'll be back at it with our brothers, uplifting each other, encouraging each other, and inspiring each other to be the best we can be. Without further ado, I have your host for you. It is Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. And you introduced the Kwanzaa concept before we commercialed, and I'm just going to water a seed that was planted I think maybe one of our last broadcasts before we got interrupted, as maybe a considerable alternative, because it occurs on this day, is the first day of Kwanzaa, and it goes from December 26th and ends January 1st. So it lasts 7 days, and in those 7 days, each day a principle is observed. It's a very warm and spiritual approach to the season or post-season, where we had a lot of running around and a lot of last-minute decisions and a lot of preparation for one day, the designated appointed day for us to be together. And now Kwanzaa, for some, could be sort of like a follow-up to bring the new year in with observing some of the things that make it easier for us to work together as a people, work together as a community, work together as a country, if we attend to the principles that were designed by the doctor, Maulana Karinga, back in the 50s. I think it was like 56 or 59. I used to, and it's ironic because I used to be really more knowledgeable and able to share particulars about it, because it's not something that is practiced. You know how you get out of practice with something? You know, you know how to swim, but after a while you jump in the water, you're not going to be able to get to the other end as quickly as you did when you were practicing. You know how to swim, so you're not going to drown, but you're not going to get to your destination, which is the other side of the pool, as quick as you used to, because you're out of practice. Well, I think that's kind of where I am now, but I do remember distinctly that there are seven principles of Kwanzaa. They're called the Nguza Saba. And those seven principles go as follows. The first one is the principle of unity. It's pronounced Umoja. And my guess is Swahili. It could be a Swahili or it could be a Shani, but my guess is a Swahili because of the way that you pronounce the letters of the alphabet. And that stands for unity. Now, we talk about unity all the time on our program. We aspire to it. We look forward to the chance that unity will be practiced on a regular basis with our culture specifically, because we've observed that other cultures have a tendency to recognize the importance of it and practice it themselves. So we would do well to observe and glean from that. So I'm not going to talk about unity, it's the first principle, but we'll just talk about the concept of unity and not talking about just bringing everybody together like we do in the holiday season, because that's prompted by a lot of cosmetics and a lot of music and a lot of colors and a lot of, you know, that energy. So we don't have that to build to this for our unity. So let's just talk a little bit about what this concept is, and then we can introduce the second principle. The concept here that I'm gathering of just unity being first means simply that we have a one-mindedness about the principle of working together. It doesn't mean everybody's going to come together, sing kumbaya, or everybody's going to come together and stand around a tree and sing carols or anything like that. It just means let's start with the idea that unity is an aspiration. I think that's fair. Then we have one that's a very creative sounding word. It's called Kuji Chagalia, which stands for self-determination. Now I would like to think that speaks for itself, but let's delve a little bit into what self-determination may be suggesting here, and that is after unity, we get in the mindset of unity as the premise, as our goal. Self-determination probably would be lined up to represent what each one would do well to recognize themselves and what they have to offer to the unity, and be mindful and determined to pour that in and enter that into the quest for us to be principally sound as we go forth, starting the new year. That's just my, that might not be, I did some reading before I came on, and I have some recollection, but I'm telling you what makes sense to me because of the chronology of the principles. And that much makes sense to me, is that the unity that we aspire to is going to be reliant upon each individual to be self-determined, not only about the unity, but about who they are, what they have to offer to humanity, and what they're willing to start practicing. The third principle is called Ujima, which stands for collective work and responsibility. And I would like to think that that's a self-explanatory statement too, but let's delve a little into that, because collective work and responsibility is something that our culture was bred on. And we learned not only how to collect and work responsibly, but we learned how to, even though it was a stressful situation that we found ourselves in, working collectively, we found a way to bridge the spirit of it by singing. And we learned how to, and when we had freedom after the work responsibility, we had creative dance, and we had storytelling. We had all these things that enhanced our ability to continue to stay in the collective work and responsibility mental atmosphere, because we were under duress and under pressure to perform. And so we became adept at that, but we also became adept at recognizing that there's a spirit that accompanies that, and we used to usher that in to keep us going. Then there's Ujama. There's two A's. It's Ujama, and that stands for cooperative economics. And that's something that, quite frankly, we're urging, and we have some things in place that we want to introduce to our audience in some other segments when we get more detail about it. We have some projects that speak directly to the necessity for us to consider doing that, collective economics. And if you delve into that, you'll find that collective economics is represented by what we look around and see with other cultures who are working together, experiencing. Let me give you an example. The reason why I've observed that a small business in a black community, a business owner, may struggle is because he has high overhead, high insurance because of his location, and he has only his ability to go buy wholesale what it is that he'll need to provide as he vends or whatever he's selling in the community. And there's some other variables too to consider that makes it so that when he does sell, it's important for him, in order to make a profit, his prices may be a little bit higher, sometimes unreasonably higher, making it so that we would almost have to be generous to go in and buy from him, when we can go down the street to a conglomerate, or go down the street to a business that has maybe a little bit more of stability and get it for a few pennies less. And the option to do that is pretty usual. But collective economics allows vendor that has a store on this side of town to gather and collect his resources with, his financial resources with another vendor on the other side of town or other vendors in the vicinity to collectively buy their goods so that they can get the utmost in their wholesale purchase. And therefore, their prices don't have to be so off the chart, and they can start creating a sort of like a ability for them to work together, even though they may have the same type of business, and it gives them a mindset that, that you're not in competition, you're in cooperation. So the collective economics, as far as we're concerned, the Ujamaa, that's as far as we're concerned, is another aspiration that we have. And if we open up our eyes and our minds to how others are doing it, it might be strategic for us to begin to start observing and practicing that principle. The next one is called NIA, N-I-A, which stands for purpose. So purpose to me is merely vision. Vision. Because I know if I don't have vision, then purpose doesn't seem to be on the same street with me. If I'm not able to foresee in my mind, because it's a mind's eye perception. If I'm not able to perceive in my mind's eye something occurring, then that won't generate my willingness to purpose into it, because it's not clear. So one of the things that we advocate along with Unity on this, in our program and in our format, is that we consider practicing the unity with a purpose. And so that's something that we're working to coordinate now. We have some things going on that we're going to share with you as they progress, but we don't want to be premature when we introduce something to you until we get it to where it's practically a well-oiled system, so that when we report to you about it, we won't be reporting a concept, we'll be reporting a project that's ongoing. So purpose is merely, to me, what vision represents. The reason why purpose is asserted is because the vision is clear. So we are people who, unfortunately, but understandably, don't practice collective vision very often. We have a personal vision, and quite frankly, we're adept at achieving our personal visions if we stay steadfast and continue to press on. Usually our personal visions eventually get met because we have that kind of reserve of creativity, energy, and ability. However, we're talking now about from the first word of unity, the first principle, and through self-determination, collective work and responsibility, and Ujamaa, cooperative economics, that should help us to create a vision and a purpose for us to aspire to higher things as a body of people. The next one is called Kuumba, which is creativity. And I don't think I need to explain creativity to you, but I do think I should emphasize how important it is not to take it lightly. When Tim and I go into the schools and we work with young people, we let them know that we understand, especially the ones that we work with third graders through fifth graders, and we let them know that they have the ability to perform magic. How so? They can have something in their mind that nobody else sees, and they can make it materialize. That's magic. And that's what we emphasize with the young people that we work with, that creativity is magic that we have. And if we take it lightly and downplay it and allow someone else's magic to get us enthralled and keep us preoccupied, we'll forget that we have the ability to exercise it ourselves. Because the computer age and the phone and all of these different technologies are creativity to a high degree, so much so that it has the ability to captivate people and pay more attention to someone else's creativity and less attention to their own. And I think that's a shortcoming that we can work to overcome if we just start recognizing each other for the ability in the first place and encouraging each other to demonstrate it and giving acclamation to those who aspire and reach their zenith or their ability to the highest degree of performing it and using that as a base to drive each other to do the same, to perform to the highest degree, which we are quite capable of, has been proven. We don't have to talk about the excellence that we can demonstrate when we put our energy into it and be self-determined to make it happen. So I don't want to put a lot of emphasis on the word creativity. I want to put more emphasis on the deed of creativity, the necessity for creativity for us, the necessity to recognize how very urgent it is for us to apply our creativity with each other and apply our creativity to build a base where our foundation will allow us to be distributors and creators and manufacturers of whatever it is that we create, or in short, creations that have already been made by our brothers and our sisters that have been capitalized by others. We can revisit those and reclaim them by adding something to them to make them more powerful and make them our base to be able to distribute again and manufacture and be respected. Because what I think is important for us to recognize is that we're not getting the respect that we deserve because we're not demonstrating that we understand collectively that we should have it. You got people like me and people like Tim and people like Mark and people like the people that come on here, and we're constantly saying what we deserve. Yeah, I'm not going to say but, I'll say yet. We have to demonstrate that we understand this collectively for us to be able to have the impact to give ourselves what we deserve. The seventh principle is Imani, I-M-A-N-I, which stands for faith. And faith to me, you know, I've heard what faith is, the absence of and, the presence of one thing and the absence of another. I've heard a lot of things about faith, but I'll tell you what I think about faith, and that is that I don't look down to the floor every time I take a step. I just have faith and trust that the floor is going to be there, so I'm looking elsewhere when I'm walking. So to me, faith is that really, really working knowledge that something that should be there is going to be there. And in this case, what our ability to make things happen has been sort of like an omission. Sort of like being set aside. What we have to make things happen should create faith in us all, because we have demonstrated throughout that whatever we put in motion, if we stay with it, it's an eventuality that it occurs. So our magic is profound, and that should, I would think, urge us to be faithful at the least about what we are capable of making happen when we practice collective work and responsibility, when we practice self-determination, when we practice cooperative economics, when we have purpose and vision, and our creativity should be the bound, be the base for our faith. So these are the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and they start the first one today, and they end on the 1st of January. And then they have a feast or a festival on the seventh day. I mean, you can variate how you choose, because they have seven candles that you light for each day, right? There's a little ritual that goes along with it. Then I would suggest each member that might be interested to do research to find out what's comfortable to get started, if that's what you wish to do, to get started observing it, maybe just looking, and maybe watering the seed throughout the year as you observe some of the other things that we go through ritualistically that don't amount to what we're suggesting would amount to this, and doing a comparison and saying, hey, you know what, maybe next year I think I'm going to give this a shot and see how this works out. And then you can do your research to find out how to apply it for you, because it might be a format for one, a suggested format to follow, but if you practice observing a principle every day, you can do that however you choose and however it's comfortable for you, just as long as you recognize that these principles are so very, very well rooted and founded in our culture that when we start practicing them, they should be easy for us to duplicate and not be stressful like Christmas. Christmas is stressful. I don't know about it. Okay, I'll just say for me.
I agree. This thing called Christmas has taken a whole nother turn in the world that we live in. It's to the fact that most people can't afford Christmas. They can't afford the day-to-day living. But when it comes to a day where you go spend your rent money, your light bill money, and talking about you get it on your income tax, that tells me that you have no budget preparation, because if you have to spend your rent money and your bill money, your budget preparation is not up to par. You should, if you're going to do a one-day spend or gift presentation on a certain day, I think that the day after that day, you should start putting pennies in a jar, a quarter in a jar, and continue to do that so it doesn't hurt you down the line when you're trying to run in these malls when the prices are high, when the mall is full, and you're rushing and you're spending money without a thought. See something, you like it, you buy it, and you put yourself in a hole. There's a lot of people today are in the hole because of one day, right? And so the joy of Christmas is one thing, but the present giving is another. So you say it's Christ's birthday. Well, what did you buy Christ? If it's his birthday, what did you buy Christ? Because it seems like everyone takes this opportunity to splurge on one another, and they don't even talk to each other 2 weeks later. You know, they gave you a gift and you ain't heard from them, and they ain't gonna call you and you ain't calling them, and it's like I'm showing off, you know. Yeah, I can do this, and you can't, really can't, right? For those that can, I'm not speaking to you, but I'm speaking to the people that I work with and around. I know they don't have extra money to do the things that they just did, right? And so next week they'll be calling, hey, brother, can I borrow $20 to get to the job, man? I ain't got no gas, you know. And 9 times out of 10, I give them 20 because, you know, I always say if I give you that 20 and you don't give it back, you bought for 20. ain't got to worry about you no more. But I'd hate for us to get wrapped around in that paganistic holiday, because that's a pagan holiday. That it's not for us as a whole. Now, Kwanzaa came around, right, in 1966, right? Mr. Karinga brought that to the world to show that there's need. The presence that you give is love. The presence that you give is honor. The presence that you give is loyalty. The presence that you give is unity. The presence that you give is getting yourself together. And the presence that you give is having faith that the Most High will lead you to a better day. But we have got so far away from the regular love that's supposed to be there that we have to force love these days. And that's not how we as a people are. We're not people that have to force our love. We are compassionate people. I can tell you we're compassionate because in the mall I was doing security. I did one day of security, right? They called me out and said, hey, brother, I need you to come help out. You know, they had a shooting in the mall a couple of weeks ago, and we just need an extra face out there. Some of them kids know you and they respect you, so can we have you to come out? I went out, right? But when I got there, I sat around. And I said, okay, look at this here. There's diversity in here. So that looks good. I'd love to see all people in one area. And then so I said to myself, I said, well, let me see just how thoughtful folks is. So I'm walking. And do you know there was Asian people that would rather walk over me than to move to the side? They expected me to move, right? They expected me to move. So I kept on moving, and Hispanic, I'm walking. I'm a pretty big guy, and I felt that, you know, me walking straight, they probably would move out my way, but I end up moving, right? That's because we have compassion. That's because we have, you know, we have that love for mankind. So we'll move to the side. But others, I see that they feel in control, that they walk and they expect you to jump out the way. And I seen it. I played that game all day. That made my time go by fast. I just wanted to see who would move out the way. And one person didn't want to move. And I said, okay, this one right here, I'm going to walk and I'm just going to keep walking. And we ended up bumping into each other because I wasn't going to move and he wasn't going to move. And I said, okay, I see where our blackness is being misused. The compassion that we have is being misused because every time I moved out of one's way, one didn't say, well, thank you, excuse me. Any consideration for me moving did I get. And so that's when I start saying, well, I ain't going to move, right? Just to see. And why I say that is because we are a compassionate people. We are, you know, we are not looking to harm anyone. If they said if the black man gets power, that the white man's going to be scared that the black man's going to do what was done to the black man from the white man. And I beg to differ because all we want is a fair shot. If you give us a fair shot, we can do what we need to do for our people. Now, everybody's not going to get in line with that. That's the thing. So when you say self-determination, I believe that was Kuma. What was that? What was that? Kuma Gamalia? What was it?
Kuji Chagalia.
Okay. I need to go find that. But, yeah, so I don't see where that would hurt for us as a people in the community to practice all seven of the principles, because we do need self-determination, right, as a whole, so we can come together and do, like you said, sit with my mom and my sisters at the table and break down some things and unpack some things and talk about some things so we can be in the know with one another, right? Our families don't do that. Our families, I was at a friend's house, you know, and I dropped off a present, and they was eating dinner. I said, well, I don't want to bother y'all. He said, oh, man, you ain't going to bother us. My cousin over there in the playroom, the kids is upstairs. They eating food. This is dinner time. They ain't even at the same table. So we need to get back to where we used to be. Now, I can't say that them times was better than these times, because each decade has a good and a bad to it, you know. But the ways of the world have changed. And if we don't get back to some of them good days of teaching and reaching our people at the same time, then we are going to lose in every area that life has for us. With that, I digress. So we will be going to a commercial break. We'll be right back. It is the Wise.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
That's right. We're taking submission for your music, spoken word, comedy, and more right here on the Wise Words One Gun Show. I know there's a lot of you that have spoken word that you haven't put out in a long time. Well, I suggest that you speak it into your iPhone, save it, record it, send it to me, and let the world hear just what you have for them. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm DJ One Gone, and we're going back to our host, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
And I want you guys to pardon me. I was tempted to let you hear the background, because what you would have heard was laughter and joy in conversation with my family in the background. And It's a warming thing, but it would have been rude, so I didn't do it. I muted myself, and then when I went to respond after Tim's presentation, which I agree with wholeheartedly and more, I was on mute, and then there was a pause. So pardon me for that, because what we're doing is we're moving toward being as attractive with our professionalism as we possibly can, because we understand that we have to be on point with what we're presenting and how we're presenting it in order to get your attention hold your attention to stimulate you to give some thought about what we're sharing, and then hopefully we can come together and have conversations when you call in to find out how we're going to work together comfortably. And then sometimes uncomfortably. Sometimes you have to do something that you really don't want to do. I learned that when I got clean from using drugs. There was some stuff I had to do that I didn't want to do. But I recognized that I had to do it, and once I started doing it, and again, we put emphasis on the word practice, because whatever we practice, I hope you agree that whatever you practice becomes easier for you to do, even if it's something that you didn't want to do in the first place. So here we are, agreeing that Kwanzaa might be a consideration for practice in the future. It's just a seed. For some, it's a seed, and some, it's we're watering a seed. But what we suggest is that you just give a, you know, express enough interest to look it up. W-A-N-Z-A-A. Just look it up and see if it has anything that might attract you to give a little more attention to it. And I think the principles themselves speak for themselves. However, it's your decision, but it's not easy to make a decision without good information. And that information is available for you to research. So my brother was saying about how we have one day, designated day, where we're supposed to all be of joy and good cheer. And then it goes back to the grind. And if you observe your situation and you see differently, then you're what they call blessed. Even if your situation is the same as ours and you see it differently, you're still blessed, because for the most part, when you go back and look at past experiences and while you're in the throes of your current experience, I think that you will recognize that there is a post-stress factor, a post-Christmas stress factor. And I think it's something that was important to look at and find a way to relieve ourselves of, because like my brother was saying, it's like a lot of people, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was in the underworld, I knew people who didn't commit crimes, but they committed crimes in order to assure that their children had what they call, I'm going to make sure my kids have a good Christmas. And then they visited dad in jail Christmas Day, because they couldn't raise the bond for him attempting to commit a theft offense to acquire that stigma of the ritual. So you can just see how intense folk become with it, right? Prior to and then post. So I'm just suggesting that we find a way to relax from this, because we're not, especially us, my culture, there are not a lot of us who have the freedom to just be. I saw one guy yesterday on the football halftime. He bought all of his teammates golf carts. Another one bought all his teammates something, you know, some expensive gifts. They have the ability to do that, you know, and I ain't got no qualms about that, you know. I mean, if you have it like that, then the people that you care about and the people that you feel a closeness with, if you can do that, you know, it's great. However, we're just talking about average grassroots America that doesn't have that freedom, but we practice like we do. We practice spending what we don't have. We practice giving things. And then see, Seventh Day of Kwanzaa, there's also, aside from the feast, there's also another little clause. I call it a clause, not Santa Claus, but a added feature to it is that people give gifts. You don't have to, but gift giving is practice. But you know what kind of gift is practice? People practice giving somebody a gift that they know for a fact that they want. And that could be something that you already own. I had my son, my youngest son, taught me this. I went to pick him up because he lived on the other side of town. And I was separated from when the mama had custody. And I was visiting and come and take them on weekend jaunts and whatever, you know, go to the mall, go to movies. Not the mall. We didn't go to the mall too much because I wasn't for that. You weren't going to spend my dough like that. You know, we go somewhere where it's a museum, to the park, go hiking, go to the movies, stuff like that. And I went there one day, and my youngest son at the time, he was crying. He was disrupted. And I said, what's wrong? He said, Ma won't let me go to my best friend Charlie's birthday party. I said, well, really, why not? He said, because she doesn't have money to buy him a gift. Then he said, I told her I'd give him my truck. He loved this truck. My son loved this truck. But he was willing to give his friend his favorite truck because he knew that he liked it. That's the type of gift giving that occurs on the seventh day of Kwanzaa. You give somebody something that you know that they like and the warmth that you feel. Because I did that myself. I had a bracelet that was made out of a sterling silver fork, and it had two prongs, had a wrapped around a very pretty stone. And I used to love that bracelet, but I had a buddy that helped me move, and he was just such a joyous dude to be around. He always had a smile and always had that spirit about him. And when he helped me move, I gave him my bracelet. And I didn't have any grudging feeling about it because I knew he'd always admire it. Man, that's such a nice piece, man. That's so unique. Where do you get that? I never seen anything like that. Man, that's so nice. And I gave it to him. That's the type of gift giving. And that, and let me share this with you. I never forget that I gave it to him, and he'll never forget that he received it. People buy stuff for people on Christmas, and they be so embarrassed that they don't know. I thought I could use it, but, you know, I might use it. I don't know. Maybe can't sell it, can't give it away, so it's in my closet because somebody had the thought that counts premise. It was a thought that counts, so now I'm stuck with something that I don't really want, but I can't sell it, can't give it away. The bottom line is you gave somebody something that you liked, but you didn't give it something that they liked. You gave somebody something you thought they liked, but you didn't give them what they really liked. Ending the principles, the seven principles, at the end of those seven principles, there is this type of giving that can occur. So tell me, when you compare it to the hoopla, the stress, the running around, some people have, like, look, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. Usually I don't like to come to Cleveland during this time because it's usually snow on the ground. It's usually like 20 degrees, snow on the ground, and it gets slushy here, too, and it gets slippery here, too. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm going there. I'll be ready to stay in the house. But I'm here now, and it's like 50-something degrees, and it's clear, and no snow, no nothing. But people be out in the snow trying to meet this criteria every year. And we're just proposing that we reexamine what the benefits are. What they call that cost benefits, whatever they call that benefits, a benefit deficit or whatever, and do an assessment and maybe come up with something like Kwanzaa has a little bit more meat on the bone. And leaves you with a little bit more to feel, other than depression and stress on the 2nd of January, starting the 2nd of January, and go into February and March. Because you're waiting for that income tax check to straighten it all out now. So these are the seeds we're planting with some and watering with others. But last time we talked about another factor that contributes, you know, if you do this, if you do the string tying and the dot following, greed. Greed is intermingled with this practice that we're caught up in. It is the greed of these corporations and these stockholders and these CEOs that rub their hands together every time this season comes, because all they have to do is outmarket the next man to get more than he got. But everybody's going to get their share. But you got some who want to supersede and outdo everybody else so they can get the most when they already got plenty. A young lady pointed this out to me a long time ago, and then it stuck with me. She said, the people who make the most money during the Christmas season don't even celebrate it. Don't even celebrate. I think it's like it's time for a whole lot of things. Everything happens in its time. However, I think that, one, just like technology has crunched time to make things happen quicker, I think what we do is comparable to technology, because we're sharing the depths of circumstances and looking at the details that might prompt somebody to crunch time before they make a decision to do something different. That's the benefit of this type of broadcast, as far as I'm concerned, because I wish I had somebody talking to me back in the day like I'm talking to you, and like Tim is talking to you. I wish I had somebody doing that, getting me to think a little different instead of going along with the crowd like these kids walking around with their pants hanging off their butt and you ask them why and they can't tell you because everybody else is doing it. And they don't want to get caught not doing it. They don't want to be the odd person. They don't want to be subject to the ridicule. Oh, man, you ain't celebrating Christmas? What? No, I mean, I'm celebrating Christmas. I'm celebrating the spirit of it. But I'm not celebrating the ritual, and I'm certainly not celebrating the potential for me to be broke January 2 of 24. I'm not celebrating that, but I will celebrate all of the spirit of good cheer and all of the spirit of joy and love that I'm seeing. I will be a part of that, and as I said the last time I talked about this, I'm going to observe. I think it's important to observe what it is that really makes me feel this way so I can duplicate that beyond the holiday and start doing it in my life as I go forth from this point on. So those are the important factors. You pull out what works, and you get rid of what doesn't. The stress is something you can get rid of. Just have to concentrate, I think, and just focus on what's sensible, what makes sense. And the kids, stop duping them kids about a heavyweight, overweight Caucasian taking the credit for your sacrifice to get them presents. You're going to wrap something up. You're going to go to the store and go buy eBay, have it dropped off, sneaking it around, hiding it and all that stuff, sneaking around and wrapping it up, sneaking around, keeping it hidden, and then put it up under the tree. And you say this overweight Caucasian did it. Please stop that. Please. It's fantasy. And it ain't even a fair fantasy. I mean, a frog, you kiss a frog and it turns into a prince, that's one thing. But an overweight Caucasian coming into your house and putting gifts up under your tree for your kids, that's ridiculous. Please. So anyway, yes, sir.
I'm with you 100%. Hey, I had to unmute myself there because I don't understand how that is still around, that tradition of the white man coming down the chimney and putting something up under the tree while we sleep, right? And you wake up and there the presence is, and then those that strive to get these toys, they sacrifice a whole lot, like I said, rent, the light bill. And then you're going to get this folks, you white man, the credit? Oh, man, hey, we got to stop that. And so I was over here laughing, man. I couldn't stop laughing because the fact of they still doing it, man. And then so, you know, I'm not teaching no youth no lie. Everything that I'm teaching has to be true. And so ain't no way I'm going to fraternize with anybody to represent a white man coming down that chimney when the white man got his foot on my throat. He won't let me. I got a 780 credit score, right? 780, right? I'm 24,800. I don't know why I can't get there. It's been 2 years I've been sitting where I'm at, and I've used the credit card, but it looks like they don't want me to boost up, right? But I'm only saying that to say this. I got my credit up thinking that I can go out here and purchase some things like they do with the credit. Get the loans that they give with the credit. You know what they want to give me with the credit I got? They want me to go buy a fancy car, because that's what most Negroes do. Go buy a fancy car, put a lot of music in it, and put some rims on it, and pay a high interest rate for something that depreciates soon you pull off the lot. That's what they want to give me. They want to give me something that depreciates in minutes instead of allowing me to build the way I know how to build in my community. Instead of, you know, Marvell, you know, I was trying to get the group home for our young people coming out of juvenile hall so they could be in a placement home, right? And, you know, the devil, he steals your vision by things that are already in place, and that's redlining. I don't know if y'all know, listeners, what redlining is, but redlining is really a thing right here in California, especially, where you can have the same everything that another ethnicity has, but because you're black, they're not chancing it with you. And, you know, I just can't believe how we keep going for the okie doke. I can't believe how we keep getting duped. I can't believe how we'd rather turn on each other and beat each other for two pennies when we can work together and get five pennies. You see, it's something that's got to happen. It's got to be where we as a people come together and unify to do better for all that come behind us. So we have to get outside of our selfishness. We have to get outside of it's me or the highway. We have to get rid of talking down on one another. If you see Johnny ain't doing right, you go pull Johnny to the side and tell him how he can get right instead of going and gossiping about Johnny not being right. These are the things that need to happen in the black community. These are just some of the things that need to happen. And they need to happen not now, but right now, because of our youth are being driven to this evil side of thinking. You know, they don't want to do nothing positive because that's boring. They want something to get stimulated They want instant gratification. They, you know, self entitlement. They don't know what they don't know because we're not teaching them. But we have to start reaching our youth and start telling them the truth about all that life has for them. Because if we're going to keep saying that the village is the way and we the village and the youth are the future, well, we're going to have to do some switching up. We're going to have to do some changing. We're going to have to do some more communicating. We're going to have to do some more training. We're going to have to do a lot of things that we're not doing. There's a few of us. There's a few out there doing just as I'm talking. They're training, and they're doing all the things I just said. But guess what? It's not enough of them. You see, it's not enough.
I say, Tim, tell them what I say means.
And so it is.
And so it is. I say.
And so it is. I say.
And so it is. Yes, sir.
And so it is.
And so it is. It's everything you're saying and everything that we would do well to start doing. And when I say we, I'm not speaking French. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about that one element, that one group of people, that their resilience and perseverance has started to work against them, because people know that you can bounce back, so they don't care what they thrust upon you. They do it with marvel, like, oh, they're going to come about it? Yeah, watch this, watch. Put that on them, they'll be all right. Watch, I tell you, they're going to find a way. You know, we gave them hog guts and they turned them into chitlins, and I even like them. Tastes good. We cut the wings off and threw them away. They took them up and made chicken wings. Now we selling them like wing dings for almost $1 a piece, making a killing off of scraps that we used to give away that they took and made a delicacy out of. So, yeah, you know, just watch them. They'll be okay. So our perseverance and our resilience is working against us, because it's anticipated that whatever is thrust upon us, we're going to bounce back from. So nobody has any qualms about what you go in the Arab store and they trying to work you over, you know, sell you stuff that's fired and all that. Oh, look at you. It'll be all right. They'll bring it back, and we'll haggle with them, or maybe we'll give them money back. Or might even get them to negotiate to get something else that's updated instead of what we sold them that's expired. But they'll be okay no matter what, because that's how they built. They built to last, and we're going to work that too. So let's be vigilant, folks. And our vigilance toward these factors and each other will help them be vigilant of themselves so that they can excel and stop resting on the laurels of anticipating us to do all of the heavy lifting while they live in entitlement. It's almost like a curse for us and for them. Because they get smug. Like you say, you walking through the mall and they anticipate that because their presence is greater than yours, just by proxy, just by the whatever that they're living in, they think that you're supposed to work to avoid them. And I said, I had the same experience. I mean, I had the same experience. See, I go into Costco. I don't know if it's it might be, but them Asian drivers with the carts. I had to slip and slide and wither, slither away from them all the time, but they just barrel, like, you know, on the wrong side. Like, I'm thinking, damn, do you drive a car? Did you, you think you live in Europe or something? This ain't Europe. You don't drive, you don't ride on the left side. What side of the street you used to driving on, pushing the cart on the right-hand side, and people walking on the right-hand side? But they just oblivious, and especially to us, oblivious to our existence. And so that's why it's important for unity, self-determination, collective economics to be a part of our structure so that our purpose can be seen, our vision can be known, and our ability to be able to compete and get the respect in markets so that they won't look at us like the number one consumer that we are. Because they take that for granted. They build empires off of our consumption. People come here and they plant. You don't see 7-Elevens owned by the Arab community out in, what is that place out there? It's way out there. You know, it's an exclusive area. You very rarely see that the ownership is of another ethnic, right? If it is, it's Irish or Greek or Russian, they might own it. But Asians and the Arab community, they planted themselves in our communities. They built their empires in our communities, and they might mingle with the people out there. And not even build their gated community in or adjacent to the people out there, but they built their empires in our community. And we have to observe how that's done. We have to acknowledge, first of all, that it's being done and stop being blind to it, and then glean from how it's being done and take notes and learn how to be successful in our collectivism. Because it's not just a strategy, it's a necessity. Just like I didn't tell you about this, Tim, but I brought all my data about inventions here, and I had them on a clipboard with some other, I have wrote some stuff. I wrote my mom a nice poem, and I didn't have a chance to print it, so I brought it with me so I can have it duplicated here. One of my sisters, I got just Jetson sisters. Now, I'm a Flintstone. I'm the Flintstone, and then I got Jetson kinfolk, so they can do stuff that I don't even have the patience or the wherewithal or knowledge to do. So I brought that stuff with me, brought all of the inventions that make this country what it is. We got inventions that make this country what it is, the civilization that it is. Our ancestors made machines and inventions that civilized this country. Not only did we work the land, but we also created stuff to make it so that when you got money, you can invest it in something that can make you rich. When I say you, I guess I mean them, because that's what it did. It didn't make us rich. It made them rich. And then their riches turned into wealth. So we do well to stand back and recognize that game is over. It's over. Whether or not you want to accept it, it is over. It is over because, you know, even though Santa Claus is still a staple, you don't see them pushing them like they did because people are getting hip to it now. It ain't getting pushed to, you know, they still making it wish, checking it twice and all that. But when I was coming up, that was just ringing in your ears all day. And this one here was killing me the other day. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm thinking, I'm going to have me a black Christmas. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going home to my family. And I'm dreaming of, on my plane ride home, I'm dreaming of a black Christmas. I ain't dreaming of no white Christmas. So our message is the unity, the first principle, and then all the other principles sort of tell you how to get to the first one, what you have to do. So Kwanzaa and those six principles under unity, those are well prescribed principles to get to the first one. It's not, again, it's not to me, it's not a whim. It's not just a thought. It's necessary. It's necessary for the time. We live in a time where everything is forward moving and fast. So we need to speed up on this and not be so slow in the registration of what's necessary for us to get where we deserve to be, where we've earned our way to. Like Joe say, Joe, I say deserve, and Joe said earn. Well, we earned the right to deserve what we got coming. So let's get to it, folks. Let me say this one thing, Tim, and I'll shut up. One thing. Let's not carry the message that this is vengeance. It's justice. We don't want vengeance. See, we live in a vengeful society where vengeance is the key to the retribution. At the end of it, we want to punish whoever did whatever they did. And that's how they might anticipate us. We're not looking for vengeance. We're looking for justice. And when we get justice in America, when our people get justice in America, again, I say, that's when America will become the greatest country in the world. Not until then.
You're listening to the Wise Words with One Gong Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861, 515-605-9861.
There ain't no justice for that face. Listen to the sound of the children play. Their young happy heart laughing and saying, I care not about the color of my friend. I only know I'm having fun with him. Black, white, red, yellow, blue, or green. What does color really mean? That it keeps you alive from seeing eye to eye. If nothing else, let us learn from the kids once again how to live.
Temptations ain't no justice right here on the Wise Words of One Gong Show. Hey, so I want to let you know about the justice that they do serve us. Watch this. There's a bill that was signed by the president. It was a bill for defense. This bill was $186 billion. I said $886. Let me say it right. $886 billion defensive package just signed by Biden. Now, you talking about justice. Where's them reparations? Marvell?
Yes, sir. See, yeah. And the lack of attendance to that detail is one of the challenges that we're going to have to overcome. Because we marched for Black Lives Matter, and we protested. And to some degree, that movement stirred up the consciousness of not just black people, but others. However, when it comes down to looking at the potential reparations bill that they're going to be legislating in February of 2024, there should be no contemplation given that they've already agreed to award another country $886 billion. That's $886 times $1,000 million. The math is staggering. It's staggering. And so when we say there ain't no justice, like the Temptations say, there ain't no justice, that is a clear demonstration of injustice. And we're asking for what we've earned, what you said. We had 40 acres and a mule would have been good enough for us because we'd have plowed it, harvested it, sold it, and parlayed it, and we would have the same amount of land now that you gave away in the Homestead Act back in 1860, that you gave
Come
away.
On.
We would work our way to owning that and be working the land ourselves instead of bringing back ex-slaves to work the land that somebody gave you because you didn't know what you was doing. So justice is absent in any kind of demonstration of helping another country under the auspices of democracy. Is that what it was? That what they say? Democracy? Is that what this premise is? Democracy? And you claim to be democratic, but you have a people, number one, who have not been acknowledged for their contribution in building this country and are constantly being discriminated against. And then you got a homelessness problem in this country.
Teacher.
But you're talking about democracy for somebody across the water. We know what it's about. It's about, see, they're talking about green energy, but that thing, it's always been about the oil. This oil. Could, and if it ain't, I'm thinking whatever natural resource could it be about that they wouldn't invest that money to protect. Kuwait. I mean, come on. It's oil. That reserve
yes,
is so plentiful that they're looking forward to maintaining the crude oil industry to on steroids while they're talking about natural energy, natural gas, and talking about green energy, talking about wind energy and all of that stuff. They're talking about it, but they're propagating to continue the oil reserve so that 'cause that's the biggest paying energy for these big wigs. That's what pay them consistently, make them million and billion and trillionaires, and they so greedy that they don't care what it's doing to the environment. But that's the only reason makes sense why they're supporting this country against Russia, because Russia's trying to seize the oil reserve so they can compete with the United States as a power. And China just sitting back. See, whoever wins, like Richard Pryor say, whoever wins, that's some, oh, this is my side. Whoever wins.
So, brother, we have a special guest on the phone that's live, and I'd like for her to let the world know who she is. Caller from the 513, would you mind stating your name?
I did that already. I'm not talking about me.
Yeah.
Are you guys talking about me?
Yes, because when I had you introduce yourself, that was just to me
okay.
and the queue. And so now you're live worldwide, and we'd like to let our listeners know who's listening in.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay, so I am Marvell's youngest sister, and my name is LaFaria Wilson, and I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, but I am from Cleveland, Ohio. And glad to be a part of this, and I am listening in.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, so Marvell.
Yes.
Here it is. We're talking about reparations. We went from Kwanzaa to reparations, right? And
right. We're
talking about a debt that is owed us. That's what reparation is. It's not a handout, but it's a debt that is owed to us. And I need mine. I don't know about y'all, but I need mine.
When you say y'all, who are you talking about? Hey, not only do I feel that it's a necessity, I'm advocating for it and don't understand why everybody in California, that even people who might not benefit from it should understand, well, I'm not going to say might not benefit directly, won't financially benefit from it. People who are Californians should understand that that benefit not just doesn't benefit a group of people, it benefits the whole state. And for the people who don't understand that, they'll learn. they'll learn how the benefit trickles down. Because once we become capable to demonstrate, we've always been the patriots of this country. We're more patriotic than anybody else in this country. And our patriotism has always brought this country to another level of excellence. We fought in wars and then got disrespected when we came back. Nonetheless, we stood, discriminated against, redlined against, discriminated against in voting, discriminated against in housing, discriminated against in finances, where we go to get a loan for something, and everybody else, any BoJack coming in there with a 540 score can't get what you got, can get what you can't get with a 780 score. But we still represented this country every time we stepped up. Go to the Olympics, got black people winning medals for this country. They struggled against them people until we got in the game. They was like second, third. Until we got in the game, then we started bringing all the athleticism and our skills and abilities and winning medals representing this country. We've been representing this country since we got here. We are the patriots of this country. And I dare to say it's important for us to recognize patriotism for what it really is. We stand for this country through type of adversity. So reparations is a timely award. Matter of fact, it's over time. It's past time. But now, whenever they put energy into it, we want to make, see, here's the thing. Us not advocating for it, us not having a consciousness about it, us not having a momentum from the ground roots up about it makes it so that it seems trivial, a trivial conversation. If people don't know about it, then when I say, when I talk to people about it, they say, yeah, well, you know, y'all heard something about it, man. You know, they ain't going to do, you know, man, they ain't going to do that. And so I proposed to them. I said, look, I'll tell you what. Sign this. What is that? It says that when reparations is awarded to you, you turn around and you deem it to me, Marvell Wilson Jr. How that sound?
Hey, Marvell. I got Mark on the line. Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we talked about reparations, and Marvell said, if you jigaboos don't want yours, or what he called a BoJack, if you BoJacks don't want your issue, sign this paper and let me, and when it do come about, let yours go to me.
Yeah, a legal affidavit saying, look, okay, I don't believe it's coming, so if it do come, give it to him. If you don't believe it,
then I agree with that. I totally agree with it. Yes, I totally agree with it.
Because, see, Dig this here. He didn't say the most important part. If he say he don't think it's coming, he didn't say, I don't think I got it coming. That's what he's saying to me. I don't think I got it coming.
Well,
so if you ain't got it coming, then I do. Break me off.
Right, you know, I feel the same way about it. You know, people are skeptical about something, and that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people are being those Johnny-come-latelys. They want to jump on the bandwagon after they see everybody else getting something. You know, like I say, if you don't want it, you don't want it. You don't want to participate, just run from it like you've been doing.
Precisely.
But it's... And I hope y'all had a happy holidays.
Yeah, man, I'm here with my family, man. We having a ball here, man. My mama turned 90.
Still down there.
Son,
take care of your mother. I said hi.
I will. I certainly do. I think she might be over. My sister might be on the line right now. Mary, you still there? If you are, I hope Mama's listening. You got it on speaker so she can hear the greetings coming from.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. She got greetings of her own coming through. I had to leave the room because she still has well wishes for her turning 90, and she's on the line on her phone right now.
Yeah, giving advice. Hey, giving advice and making sense, wisdom, discernment, and experience all still present and current. That's the double blessing. Not just her presence physically, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and the wisdom thereof, still all current and present. Yes, sir.
Yes, so Mom's is on the line. I believe that's her calling right there, 440 area code. She's live, and her mic is open. So if that is
your
Mom's.
Mom?
No, your Mom's.
Oh, my mom.
No.
Yeah,
no.
You my brother.
Okay.
Yes. Hey, so we are on the 27th minute before the show closes down. I believe Mark had something going on, so I put him on mute. But the show started off with Kwanzaa. We was talking about the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And if we could just bring them seven principles into our setting, I don't care where's our setting. It could be at the school. It could be at the house. It could be in the streets. If we can bring them seven principles to fruition, then we'd have a better thing called culture and community. We'd have a better thing called that, because right now we're running amok. Brothers and sisters don't trust each other. Brothers and sisters don't work together. Brothers and sisters are like in a silo. We only do what we're going to do when we do what we do. And it's only for us. And we need to spread this thing called love across the board so that we as a people can, you know, not only build but trust one another, because you can build with somebody you don't trust. It might not last long, but you can build with somebody you don't trust. We need to build foundation that's going to last, just like that Willie Lynch letter did, you see. And so with that, I'm going to open that line back up for Mark. Mark, I hope you are there. And Marvell?
Yes, sir.
Great show, sir. Great show.
Yes, sir. And I totally agree with you 100%. We need black cohesion. Like I say, there's enough black excellence, plenty black excellence. But it means nothing if it's done individually. We need to come together. And like I say, you don't have to give all your money. Just put something in the pot, something in the kitty. You know, we throw away enough money every day for whatever. If we can just take a small portion of that and donate to ourselves, build a garden for ourselves. We could build warehouses, storage houses where we can store stuff up for when that day comes. Because when that day comes, we run into everybody else looking for something, looking for handouts, but when we can help ourselves. So it's time for us to come together, stand together, and work together. I digress.
Hey, so listen, I just got apprised that the 440 is NOLA. NOLA. And Lola, if you're on the line, we'd certainly like to hear from you, sister.
NOLA, I missed pretty much the whole podcast, so I'm just really coming in to listen. But I'm enjoying the little I've heard. I've only been on for about a minute or two.
Okay, well, we certainly appreciate you being invited, and we invite you to continue to be a part of this format, because we're a little different in regard to how we address issues. We're a little more candid and a little more pointed about what we see, feel, and observe, and what we think are issues are important for us as a group and as a culture of people to address in this country. So Mark just got through expressing the unity that's necessary, and we always hear that. We always hear that. The reason why we always hear about the word unity is because of the lack of it, right? We'd be talking about, if we had unity, we would be talking about something else. But we don't have it, so that's a key principle word to practice. But what, not only do we talk about unity, but we talk about the particulars that keep us from unity. And my brother Tim just got through talking about one that is most important, and that is trust. The trust factor is very, very much the crux of us seeing how we're going to work together. And that distrust seed has been well planted and watered through the division that was set forth by the Willie Lynch letter way back before slavery. Slavery was in the Caribbean and transcended to here, and that letter was a recommendation for how to get it, stabilize it, maintain it, and keep control with division. So those divisions have broken into a whole bunch of different departments when we come look at each other, and it creates that, seemingly creates that distrust that we have for each other. And then furthermore, we even endorse it. But when we get a little something, we get greedy and we get mindless about the goal of the whole and start thinking about ourselves. That trust factor is really, really a mainstay concern to develop with us. And that's what, see what we want to do with the things that we're doing is we want to put forth a demonstration of integrity and of unity, of loyalty, and obedience, and discipline to whatever we're doing, so that you can look at us and say, "Well, I can trust them." That's what we're setting up now, in where we are in California. We're setting up these type of operations where they're beyond. We want to be beyond reproach. That's why we've been working on this broadcast for several weeks. Well, more than several weeks. For Kim been doing it for years, but the broadcast that we're having now is being contoured to be professional but candid and sensible to our people, breaking down stuff, looking at issues that we might think about but we don't talk about. And we're talking about them. And we're stimulating people to look at the whole picture differently based upon how we get to the details of what's keeping us divided. So, Nola, we appreciate you pouring in, and we hope that, you know, if we air tomorrow, because we've been having some technical difficulties, wink, 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 some suspiciously technical difficulties for the last several weeks. We haven't been able to air. And then when we do, we're having some problems with the line, or we're having some difficulty getting you. You call in and they're saying, well, you're going to start in a minute, then they stop and say, well, you can't get in because. So we've been running into that. And I say it's suspicious, but it's not surprising because of the content that we're dealing with. We're dealing with how, not just the what, but the how. We're stimulating people to think about how we're going to work past the challenges that keep us from becoming the mammoth collectively that we deserve to be, because we built this. We built this. And I hope I can stimulate people not to forget that.
Marvell, it's Lafaria again, and I'm just wondering, because I missed and if you guys have time, and if you don't mind, the principles of Kwanzaa. Can you recap?
Okay, hold on, just hold on, just for a minute, for me, hold on.
While we're waiting on that, we'll go to a commercial break.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Okay, we're back. So the question before the commercial was, what are the seven principles of Kwanzaa? And I'm glad that my brother corrected the timetable where it was started by Don Maulana Karinga in 1966. And the seven principles are known as Nguza Saba. And I'm thinking that it's Swahili. I did a little Swahili back in the day, so all of the vowels are sounding similar to Swahili. The first principle is the principle of unity. It's called Umoja, U-M-O-J-A, the principle of unity. The second principle is called Kujichagulia, K-U-J-I-C-H-A-G-A-L-I-A, which stands for self-determination. The third principle is Ujima, spelled U-J-I-M-A, which stands for collective work and responsibility. The next principle is called Ujamaa, which spelled U-J-A-M-A-A, which stands for cooperative economics. The fifth principle is NIA, N-I-A, which stands for purpose. The sixth principle is Kuumba, K-U-U-M-B-A, which stands for creativity. And the seventh principle is Imani, I-M-A-N-I, which stands for faith. So I gave a little rendition of my interpretation of each one, and I'll just kind of recap. Unity is what we all aspire to, or what we say we aspire to, or know that that's the ultimate ideal for us as a people, to have unity. However, we don't have it, so we just stay with the concept and make it a goal. And the second one is self-determination, which is necessary for one to move toward the goal of unity, is to understand the power of their self and what they have to contribute to the whole. The third one, Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility, means that we learn the strength and the power of us putting our energies together and being responsible to carry the message of creativity, which I'm going to get to later, but creativity and industry and making things work based upon our collective efforts. Then there's Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, and that's one of the most necessary focuses for us to learn how to put our minds and energies and our finances together with a goal to make something happen and create our ability to manufacture and be industrious and to be the distributors of goods and services so we can get the respect that we deserve from the rest of the body in this country. Then there's NIA, which is purpose, which I define as just being the vision. The vision and the purpose not only live on the same street, but they sleep in the same house and in bunk beds in the same room. If you don't have a vision, then how could you have purpose? And if you don't have purpose, how could you pursue a vision? So purpose and vision are tantamount in regard to us being able to move forward as a collective and have something in our mind's eye that we all agree upon. Then there's Kuumba, which is creativity, and I said it then and I say it now. We run no shortage in that area. We just run shortage in recognizing how powerful it will be if we work together with our creative force, because we've done it before. We've created, I brought a brochure of about 74 inventions, and about 34 of them are so essential to the civilization of this country that nothing more needs to be said. The refrigerator. Now, how could we have a civilization if we didn't have refrigerators? There's one in every home, and if you go in a home to buy it or rent it and they don't have a refrigerator, you look at people like, well, who you think you're talking to? You ain't got no refrigerator? Right. That's what we're talking about. We have people who have created that. So we don't need to talk about creativity. We just need to talk about how we're going to make our creativity work for us instead of others. Then we have Imani, which is faith. And I'm not going to elaborate on faith. I have my own concept of what faith is. But faith, let's just say, in short, is the absence of fear.
Well done, brother. Well done. And so when we got to talking about Kwanzaa and we ran the gamut on it, we found out that this is what is needed in the community or the neighborhood, because we don't have a community. We don't have economic base in these neighborhoods. So maybe we just keep it real and say the neighborhoods we live in, we need these seven principles to come and be a part of the next movement that we make. Not only that, we was talking about Christmas and how people went and bought all these toys and they ain't going to have no money on the 2nd of January to pay their mortgage, them lights, get gas, but yet went and splurged to give a gift that you don't know if that person wanted. You just went and spent $1,000 on something that you don't know if this person wants. Because I got a bunch of sweaters, and they ugly. I got a bunch of ties that I've had for years. And, you know, I every year I get about the same thing, and I have to take it down to the Goodwill and let them sell it off, right? Or find somebody that might want it. But the gift of love is the gift that is needed. The gift of loyalty is what's needed. Not me telling these young kids that a fat white man is going to come down a chimney and put some toys down when you sleep and take away the sacrifice that a mother, a single mother at that, has given all her everything to make sure this day is memorable for her children, but yet she can't get the recognition that's well deserved for sacrificing to go get these gifts. I think that is the biggest hocus pocus in the world. For one to keep telling these kids this lie, hey, I bought them gifts, and I want you to know that Papa sacrificed to get that, and then sacrificing to get that,
I want you to take care of that. See? Mm. And so there's lessons to be learned as we speak to our young folks, as we reach our young folks. But we keep underlining the message with propaganda. And we need to stop that. I'm not against the spirit of Christmas. Let me say this and be correct when I say it. I'm not against the spirit of Christmas because the spirit of Christmas brings folks together. The spirit of Christmas brings joy in the home. The spirit of Christmas just overall is a good feeling. But not where it is where I have to go and give you a bunch of gifts and I ain't giving you no love. Because a lot of times we get these gifts and next week we ain't even calling these folks. We ain't even checking on our folks. You know, that's why I said it's the love that need to be the gift. It's the loyalty that need to be the gift. That's something they can use every day. And they can't get enough of. With that, I pass the mic.
No love. Good, you're listening.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm hoping you're embodying some of what we do here, because this is what we do.
Marvell, and I would like to introduce my husband, Shanton Bland, listening with me.
Hello, how are you?
All right, and yourself, sir?
I'm doing good, sir.
Yes, this is deep, and we're enjoying it.
Yes. Can I say a few words?
Undoubtedly.
So, I want to thank you for doing this podcast, and I want to thank Farah for enlightening us and giving us on this podcast. I just want to say is that I am constantly learning. There's something going on, I believe. It's a feeling, and I know a lot of other African-Americans have it too. There's something spiritually going on as far as what I believe it's an awakening. And people like you, we need as far as enlightening and awakening us because we as a people, we need to join together. You made a good point as far as with the Santa Claus. Why give this white man the credit when this woman or a black family has worked hard to buy these gifts, but yet you give this credit to a white man coming down a chimney? So I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I want to thank you, and I would love to give you a call and we talk one-on-one and share some knowledge as well. So, but thank you, and thank you, Fair, for inviting us to this podcast. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your audience and your participation, and that invitation is well accepted. You will get the numbers. That's no big deal. You know, they go back so far that it's not even, we don't even have to talk about exchanging numbers. The number is the same. Your number might as well be mine right now. So we're going to have a chat because we're at the planning stage. We're at the grooming and planning stage for the next move for our collection, right? That's what we're doing here. Well, I'm not saying here, but where I am in California, we have some dedicated people who are very passionate and very sincere about moving the needle, right? To, you know, getting it right where it should be. So, I back in the day we used to have the record player, and you got to pick the needle up and drop it on there just right for the music start. But that's what we do.
Put the needle on the record.
That's right. We're putting the needle. We're putting that needle on the right at the right starting point, so that we can get the music right. We're starting getting toward that beautiful music that we make, the music that we make that everybody duplicates, right? So we're learning that we are the most duplicated of the species on this earth, and we're going to stand in the gap and represent ourselves and each other for what we deserve, the commendation and the recognition that we deserve because of that. That's all. And see, here's the one thing that I keep on dropping in before we end, is that there need not be any apprehension or fear once that occurs, because we come in peace. All we want is justice. That's all we want is justice. We don't come with retribution. We're not trying to overtake anything. We just want justice. And if you give us justice, I say this too all the time, that when the American blacks get justice, that's when this will be the greatest country in the world. Not until then, because other countries looking at us saying, y'all got a whole bunch of stuff that we can come and take advantage of, but when we send it back home where there's family unity and there's collectivism and everybody represents, you know, the culture. But you got some culture disorder here that we just don't understand. These people built this country. These people, and we watch how you treat them, and we see how we have to treat them in order to build our empire to send it back home. But we just don't understand how you omitting the most valuable resource, human capital, that you have in this country. We don't get it.
So
when they start getting that, that's when we will be the greatest collective country, not divided country in the world, but the greatest country in the world.
So, Marvell.
So they don't need to fear us. That's all I'm saying. Y'all don't need to fear us. You don't need to fear us. Give us what we got coming and see how well that works for this unit, this country, collectively.
Marvell, may I get on for just a second? Watch this, Marvell. So, reparations, they holding it back. But they just signed a defense package, $886 billion. $886 billion. Chew on that a minute. And you talking about you can't give us reparation. So we marched, like you said, for Black Lives Matters. We marched for little Pookie, who got shot and killed by the police. We marched for a whole bunch of other stuff, but we can't march to get ahead, and I don't understand why. With that being said, we have 60 seconds on here, and I'm going to give you your song, Marvell. To the rest of y'all, I bid you a beautiful day wherever you at in America. Make sure you keep your head up so you can see what's coming. Two from the good.